We're holding on Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, the second line. We're in the middle of discussing what needs to be sorted among things that are brought on the Mizbeach and what do not. We left off that we had a braisa on Chof Amud Aleph that said that we learned from Psukim that blood and wood don't need to be sorted. So we said, though, that wood doesn't seem to fit in there, and we ended up taking it out and replacing it with Nesachim. And then we actually had a different braisa that said that there are four things: wine, blood, wood, and keteris that don't require salt. So the Gemara asks Mani, well, who is that Braisa like? E Rebbe, if that Braisa is a point of Rebbe, Kasha eats him. Then the question is, how does wood fit in over there? Because we just said before that according to Rebbe, if you bring in wood as an independent korban, then it does in fact need to be salted. E Rabbanon, and if it's a point of the Rabbanon, who say that not, Kasha Keteris. Then the question is, why is Keteris in the list here of things that don't require salting? We said that before, when we started discussing this point, we said that anything that Acherim Boin Chovala, anything that you need something else as a prerequisite for it, namely you need wood in order to burn a mincha, for example, then it requires salting. Well, then the Keteris also, you need coals that come from wood in order to burn it. The answer is Hai Tanahu, it's the following Tana of another Braisa, the Tanya of Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yechon and Baruch Omer. He says, yes, we have a klal, a proper klal in the Psukim there to say that there's certain things that require salt and other things that do not. But so before we said the prat is something that acherim boin choiv ala, that something else is needed in order to burn it. But now we're saying instead, ma Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Shmuel Benosh Rabbi Yechon and Baruch Omer, ma prat mefurish. Just like what can we say about the prat that is specified dovash makabel tumah? That it's something that's makabel tumah of the koymets of a mincha or the mincha as a whole is makabel tumah. And then it needs salting. The oil of the ishim, and then it goes onto the fire. The yeshna on the mizbeach hachitzen, and it's brought exclusively on the mizbeach hachitzen, as opposed to, for example, the keteris, which is the keteris is usually brought on, usually or exclusively brought on the mizbeach hapnimi. Blood is sometimes brought on one and sometimes on the other, because of course you have the korbanos of Yom Kippur and the other chataris hapnimius where blood is brought on the where blood is brought on the inner mizbeach. So therefore, those are the things, says Rabbi Shmuel, that those require melicha. Yosu eitzim, so therefore that excludes wood, shein makabel tumah, which wood is not makabel tumah. Now, Rashi points out the wood of the ma'aracha, the wood that's put on the wood pile of the mizbeach, is in fact makabel tumah, but that's only midrabbanan, and the Gemara in Psachim even brings a pasuk for that. However, Rashi says that's really only midrabbanan, the pasuk is really only an asmachta. Wood in general is not makabel tumah. Tosfos discusses that point further and whether in fact it is the Raisa or not. What we mean is, in other words, that regular wood, in other words, fine, the wood of the Ma'arocha would be Makabel Tumah, says Tosfos, on a Raisa level, but wood in general does not, and therefore we can say that wood is not Makabel Tumah. Okay, so wood is excluded because it's not makabel tumah either at all according to Rashi or chulin wood according to Tosfos. So those are excluded. Yosu dam the yayim, that excludes blood and wine of korbanos chayin oil and leishim because they don't go on the fire. And Rabbi Shmuel's rule had been that it has to be something that goes on the fire, just like the koymetz does. These things don't go on the fire. The blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach, and the wine is poured into the shisim. There is actually later on in the Masechta, we learned actually in Zvachim that there was an opinion of Shmuel who held that if a person brings wine as an adava, then it is poured onto the fire. And the Gemara had discussed how that works. How is it not being over on putting out the fire? In any case, the point is, he says that his son Kodshim says that there's a difference between wine that's coming all by itself versus here we're talking about Nesachim that come together with a korban. Which in that case, it would mean that maybe indeed the wine that's poured on the fire based on this would indeed require salt. So that excludes the blood and the wine. Yotza Keteris, and it excludes Keteris, Shein Al Mizbeach HaChitzen, because it's not brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzen, it's all brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Mephoshim talk about the point that it's not makabel truma anyway, so why wouldn't it be excluded on those grounds? But in any case, the point is that the Braisa at the top of the Amud that we said wine, blood, wood, and tertus do not require salt, that would follow that opinion. Okay, so the Gemara says elatayim. Okay, so now the bottom line is, according to the various opinions over here, we're saying that you don't need to salt the blood before you sprinkle it on a mizbeach because of the pasuk that tells us that it's excluded. We had various opinions. Why? And then the Braisa before in Chof Amar Aleph, we said because it says Me'al Min Chosrecha, and according to here, Rabbi Shmuel's Braisa, because it doesn't go on the fire of the Mizbeach. Fine. One way or the other, we're saying that blood is excluded. Holad Hochi Hava Amina Dam Liboy Melach. The question is then that, so if it weren't for that, you would say that blood requires salt. Why? Given the malche, once he salted it, nafik limiteres dam, on the face of it, it's no longer considered blood in halacha. The omer ze'iri omer of chanina, dam should bishloy, ene over olav. Ze'iri says in the name of Rav Chanina that blood that was cooked is that blood, a person is not over, and a person is not chayiv kares for eating it. In other words, when is the Torah saying that blood is also to eat? Is when the blood is able to be used for kapara, as the pasuk says. V'anina sakiv lachem al mizbeach. Hashem says, I gave it to you to be put on the mizbeach, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it. But once it was cooked, you can no longer sprinkle it on the mizbeach. Therefore, the issue of blood on it goes away. It would still be also the rabbanon, but it's mutter at that point. Daraisa, Rabbi Yehuda omer ze'iri dam shemolchay in over olav, and Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of ze'iri that blood that was salted, a person is not over for the same reason, because we have a concept in halacha called moliach kireseach, that when something is salting, when something is salted, then it's considered as though it was cooked. So now, to be sure, Tosfos points out, usually when we talk about moliach kodeseach, usually we mean that it's so salty that you can't eat it. But here from our Gemara, it seems to be that even if it was salted less than that, then we're saying that it may be, or the other way around, it may mean that when we talk about salting korbanos, we are talking about salting them to the extent where they wouldn't be edible by a regular person. And in fact, that is the halacha, that is how the Rambam paskens it. That the salting of korbanos is supposed to be done like the way you salt meat for kashering, for example, where it can't be eaten because of the salt. And in that way, the Gemara, that justifies then the Gemara saying over here that it would be considered kireseach, that it would be considered like something that's cooked. And therefore, the Di'evad, that Amman points out that if you put even one grain of salt on it, then B'di'evad, it's fine. At least you did put salt on it. But in any case, the point is that, when it was cooked or when it was salted to that extent, then it's not considered blood anymore. Rabbi Yehuda Didei Omar, and Rabbi Yehuda himself says another point in this connection. A vorim should slaw, and if you took the limbs of a korban, of an oila, or the emurim of other korbanas, the halon, and he put them on, and then after roasting them off the mizbeach, then he put them on the fire of the mizbeach, ein behem mishum reach nichoyach, then he's not being mekayim with it, the mitzvah, that a korban has to be reach nichoyach, a sweet odor, so to speak, to Hashem. Because now the sweet odor took place off the mizbeach. So therefore, so obviously you can't salt the blood because then the other ones are just incidental. But in any case, the point is that how could we think that you could salt the blood in the first place and such that we need a pasuk to be reminded it? So the answer is, well, fine, you wouldn't have to salt it to that extent. Maybe it would mean you just have to put a little salt in it just for the mitzvah of salting. So, therefore being told that no, you don't have to salt the blood at all. There's no issue at all. There's no salt is to be applied to the blood at all. So the Gemara says gufa, getting back to what we said before, omer ze'iri omer of chanina, dam shebishla ene over olav, if a person cooked blood, then he's not over on it. It's not also daraisa. It's also only drabanan. This has implications in halacha. Sometimes we have, for example, when you have if after melicha, if after salting meat, for example, you have a little reddish stuff that comes out of it, and you can't be sure if it's blood or not. Many times we can say that it's considered sir, the alma. It's just considered juice rather than blood, because even if it was blood, it wouldn't be also on a daraisa level at that point. It would only be also derabanan and stuff with derabanan or lekola. Okay, so. The Gemara says, Yosef Rava Ka'amal al HaShmaita. So Rava was sitting and saying over the statement of Ze'iri, Esve Abaya, but Abaya says, and I have a question for you. Abraisa says, Hikpas Adam Ba'afloi. If a person congealed blood and then ate it, so he left it until if he left it until it got congealed and hard, and then ate it, or he melted down chalev and swallowed it. If he melted down chalev and swallowed it, chayev, then he would be chayev karis because of eating blood or chalev respectively. Well, the question is, we would assume when we talk about congealing the blood, what we mean is, for example, one way would be to cook it. Now, Ze'ili had said that if you cook it, well then, if you congeal blood, the Gemara is assuming that that was accomplished by cooking it. In that case, you wouldn't be, a person wouldn't be chayav koris for it. And the fact is that the fact is we're saying in the Braise is chayav koris. So Rava answers like Kasha, kan shehikba ba'ur, kan shehikba ba'chama. The difference is whether he congealed it by cooking it versus by leaving it in the sun. Ba'ur loy hodor. The difference is once you cook it in fire, it won't return to its original state. You can never uncook it. On a molecular level, actually, the proteins get denatured, as it's called, and then therefore you can't put them back together. Bachama hodor. But if you congealed it in the sun, then it doesn't really change. Afterwards, it could be. Made liquid again by cooling it off or whatever. The Achronim discussed the question: are we talking about like how long did you leave it in the sun? I mean, there could be a point where you leave it in the sun long enough and it will be denatured, just like in fire. So in other words, we're talking about did it reach the point of Yad Seledes by. So fine. If you left it out in the sun and it congealed and it never reached Yad Seledes, well, let's say, then yeah, he'd be chayim for it because it can be restored to its original state, but just by adding water. But if you cooked it, then it's irrevocably changed. Well, Abaya says, "V'chamenami leimahoyov idchi idchi." Why? Even if it was just congealed in the sun, you should say once it came a point where it was pushed off, it can no longer be used for a korban because at least at that point, while it's At least at that point, it can't be sprinkled on the mizbeach. So you should say idchi; it should be considered pushed off, and therefore now it never becomes mutter to sprinkle on the mizbeach again. So therefore, you should be potter for eating it. As we find in this connection, that Amani asked Rabbi Yochanan, "Dam shekorash, if blood congealed, va'ochlein he ate it. Mahu, what would be the din? Is he chayav for it for blood?" Amalei, and Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Harovanincha yidocha. Once it was pushed off from being sprinkled on the mizbeach, and it's pushed off, and it can never be used again. So therefore he's potter for eating it. So how can Rava say that there'd be a case where he'd be chayav because it can be uncongealed and it can become the consistency of blood again. Achronim bring up the point, Sfasemes and others bring up the point that, in that case, that the Braisa that we just said, that if the Braisa that we just said is chayav for congealed blood would be a contradiction to Rabbi Yochanan. So one answer is that there's a concept called Ashavei where he decided that it's important to him. The Gemara explains in Cholin, so when he cooked blood, then Ashavei he definitely considered it important enough to cook it and now to eat it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan is talking about where it just on its own became congealed or just left out, let's say. So Rava was quiet. He doesn't have an answer to Abaya. As we've discussed before, Ishtik could actually mean that he has an answer, he just can't put it into words, as is explained in a few places in Chassidus, so it could mean that he didn't have an answer. Omalei, but then Abaya says, Duma Vadai, maybe indeed you can answer the question. Goes Abak takes out the word Vadai in other places in Shas where you have this kind of phrasing, usually the word Vadai is in fact missing. So Duma Vadai, kan b'chatoris ha-chitzonis, kan b'chatoris ha-pnimius. Maybe there's a difference between the blood of chatoris ha-chitzonis and chatoris ha-pnimius, the ones that have where the blood has to be brought into the Azara, has to be brought into the Heichel. And there will be a difference in that regard between what happens if the blood was congealed or not. As the Gemara is going to go on to say that there is a difference between those two types of blood in terms of being able to spill them. So Rashi explains that what we mean is chatoris ha-chitzonis, then even though the blood was congealed by being left in the sun, nevertheless he would be chayev some Rashi, the Shagas Arya takes out the word bachama from Rashi. So with chatoris ha-chitzonis, if the blood is congealed, then he would still be chayev for eating it. And the same thing with cholin blood. When we say that he's not over, would be chatoris ha-pnimius, as the Gemara is going to go on to explain why there would be that distinction. Tosfos has some problem with that, and says that no, what it means is if he actually cooked it, then everybody would agree he's not over. When we're saying over here, a distinction between chatzoris apnimius and chatzonius would be if he just left it in the sun and it congealed. So Abaya says maybe that would be the answer. So Rava answers, Abkarta Milta, you know what, you've reminded me something, the Amar of Chista, you've reminded me by saying that of a din that Rav Chista said. The Amar of Chista, Dam Shekoresh V'chatois, when it comes to Chatois HaChitzonius, if the blood congealed, V'ochloi, and then a person ate it, Chayav, he's still going to be Chayav Kores, even though it's congealed, because the Lokach Amar Rachmana, because the Torah says about that blood, the Lokach the Nosan Amar Rachmana, the Torah says you should take the blood, and he should play it with his finger and place it on the corners of the Mizbeach. So that means, in other words, the Torah is not actually saying the word over there that he needs to dip his finger. He needs to take the blood and apply it. Conceivably, a person could take congealed blood and apply it to the Mizbeach. So therefore, you can't say that it's completely excluded from being placed on the Mizbeach. V'hai ba'la kecho nesinahu. It is possible to take a piece of congealed blood and place it on the Mizbeach. So therefore, it's considered roi l'chapara. Therefore, it's considered that kapara could still be accomplished with it. And therefore, in fact, the korban could actually be considered kosher. There are other ways that Achronim learn the Gemara to say that maybe it wouldn't actually be kosher, but nevertheless it can still be considered in the category of blood, and therefore he's chayev. But the chatoris apnimius. But when it comes to chatoris apnimius, the ochloi, if he allowed the blood to congeal. And then he ate it, potter, then he would be potter, because the tovol, that he's the Amar Rachmana, because by those, the Torah says he should dip his finger in and he should sprinkle. V'hai labak tevila v'azo, when the blood's congealed, he can't dip his finger in anymore and sprinkle with it, so now the kapara can't be accomplished with it anymore, and therefore he'd be potter. So that would be the difference. Again, according to Rashi, what we're saying is that when it comes to chatoris ha-chitzonius, no matter how the blood was congealed, he would be chayev. When we're saying that he's not over, would be by chatoris ha-pnimius. According to Tosfos, it's rather if it was congealed by cooking, everybody would agree. He's potter. The difference would only be if he left it out in the sun and it congealed. Okay, so that is Rav Chista Din. So Rava says, Abaya, you reminded me of that point. Nevertheless, though, Rava Rava himself disagrees. Omar, and he says, Afilu b'chatoris apnimius v'ochlei chayev. No, even when chatoris apnimius, if the blood congealed and he ate it, he would be chayev. Hoylo k'negdoi roi b'chatoris achatzonius. Because the equivalent would have been still chayev koris b'chatoris achatzonius, and therefore we're not going to make that distinction between pnimius and chatzonius that Rav Chista is making. Now, according to Rashi, it would come out that the way Rashi explains the sugya, that Ze'iri also agrees that there's a difference between Pnimius and Chitzonius. that the old Ze'iri would only patter him when it comes to cooking it, or when it comes to leaving it out, or when it comes to leaving it out in the sun, and it congeals, Ze'iri would draw a distinction between Chatzos HaPnimius and Chatzonius. So now, Rava will be saying, I don't agree with either Ze'iri or with Rav Chisda. According to Tosfos, Rava is saying that I agree with Ze'iri, and I just disagree with Rav Chisda. Ze'iri does not, in fact, make such a distinction. He only distinguishes between in the sun or cooked. And Rava says, I agree with that distinction. So the Gemara continues, Amar Papa. So the Papa says, following Rava's logic, that all blood that was congealed, then whether it's Royal Kapara, whether it's capable of being used for Kapara or not, then we're saying that he would be chayav, because it is, there's a different context in which that blood would be roi l'kapara. Well, hilkach, now that we say that, hoyu l'kneg d'roi, then we can say also, says Rav Papa, dam chamor shekorash, suppose that blood of a donkey, which is not even roi for a korban, maybe you could think the Torah is machayav a person koris, only for blood that's suitable to be brought for a korban. So it's not so. Shekorash, even if that blood congealed, so even though it's from a species that's not brought as a korban at all, and that it congealed, nevertheless, says Rav Papa, you can derive from what Rava is saying, v'ochla, and he ate it, then nevertheless, chayev, he's going to be chayev, hoylo k'neg d'roi b'chatoris ha-chatzonius, because the parallel to it, when it came to chatzoris ha-chatzonius, could have been brought on the mizbeach. Gillian Ashas of Akiva Eger points out that it's not necessarily only when it was congealed. I mean, he's chayev equally well when it wasn't congealed. But then the question is that then there's an actual Mishnah in Masechet Trisus that says so. So what exactly is Rapapa's Chiddush? And so one of the Achronim, Mishmer Skorna, points out that's exactly it. That the point is, even though you have two strikes against it, it's from a creature that is never brought as a korban, and it's congealed, and it couldn't have been used for a korban. In any case, nevertheless, he's still chayev. So we can derive that, says Rav Papa, from Rava's din. More on the topic of blood. Omer of Gidol Omer Ze'iri Dan Bein Lach Bein Yavish Choitzitz. When a person has blood on his skin, whether it's wet, whether it's moist, or whether it's dry, either way, it's a chatzitza as far as toveling. In fact, there's a girsa that the Shach brings from the Halachas Gedolos that says that we're talking about when the blood was cooked and is on his skin, then it's a chatzitza. So in that case, then we see how it belongs to the previous discussion. So the Gemara says, Mesia, I have a contradiction. We learn in a Braisa, I have dam, blood, I have yoy, and ink, I have dvash, and honey, I have cholov, and milk, yuvashin, chotzitzin, any of these things, if they're dry, then they're a chatzitza, lachim, and chotzitzin, but if they're moist, then they're not a chatzitza, because the water will get through it, or because another point actually is, there's a something that's a chatzitza, only if it's ruboy umakbid olav, only if it covers most of his body, and he's, or most of the keli, and he's makbid and wants it removed. If it's one or the other, or neither, then on a daraisa level, it's not a chatzitza. The rabbanon, that's a chatzitza if it's one or the other. So there's an explanation that Rishonim give, Mordechai brings, that a person is usually makbid on dry things of those kind, he's not makbid on moist things. In any case, the point is that wet, moist blood is not the chatzitza, and here you're telling me Rav Gidol that it is. The answer is like kasha, hodisorech, hodloisorech. There's a difference between whether that blood is starting to get sticky and then stuck to the skin versus that not, when it's fresh. So Rashi explains, sorich would mean, for example, like you touch a finger to it and you pull it away and a thread comes with it. So in other words, the blood is already starting to congeal and to get denatured, and then a thread comes out of it. Um, uh, so uh, So, and there's different other explanations of about what Rashi, different Gersois, and what Rashi means exactly. But the point is, in other words, that represents a certain stage in the congealing of the blood. Fine. So that was a side thing. Again, that may have gotten in here because of this matter where it was cooked. Okay. Getting back to the matter of salting korbanos, the Gemara says timlach lamai osa. Now we've been discussing the pasuk in Parashas Vayikra that talks about salting the mincha, and we've been discussing what we learned from the various parts of the pasuk, which things require salting and which do not. So timlach lamai osa. When the pasuk says all of your korbanos mincha with salt, you shall salt. So let's focus on that word timlach. You shall salt. What are we learning from that pasuk? The pasuk could have said v'chol korban minchascha timlach. So really, actually, the question is chidushim ani pasim larash, but explains why the double expression v'melach timlach. So the answer is l'chad etanya. It teaches us as follows: that v'melach, if the pasuk said only in salt, yochol tivoynehu, you would think that you should tivoynehu, as the Gemara is going to explain soon what tivoynehu means. It's going to end up meaning that you should put a lot of salt. Therefore, the pasuk says timlach. You don't need as much salt. E timlach yochol b'mei melach. If it said, on the other hand, if it only said timlach, then you could think you could use salt water, as long as it had a flavor of salt. Talmud lema b'melach. Therefore, we're telling saying that you have to put actual salt. And when the pasuk continues, voice sashvis melach, do not leave off the salt. From that we learn lahavin melach she'ena shevesis. That teaches us that you have to have salt that you have to have salt that is available both in the summertime and in the wintertime. So on the side over here, a different pirush is brought that it means that you do it whether on Shabbos or on weekday. As opposed to, in other words, the point would be that it has to be sea salt. As opposed to, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, it can't be salt from a mine, because salt from a mine is not available all year round, or you can't make it, you can't produce it on Shabbos, because you can't mine salt on Shabbos, as opposed to salt from the sea is always naturally being cast up onto the banks. The Ezu, Zu Melach Zdermis, so namely, what kind of salt would that mean? Melach Zdermis, the kind that the sea, such as the Dead Sea, is always throwing up onto the banks. And the point is, it actually says it's fine salt. So minayin shimli motza melach sedomis shemevi melach estrukness. But how do we know if you can't find melach sedomis that you can take salt from a mine, which is coarser? Talmud lema takriv. Therefore, the pasuk says you should offer, and that means time b'di'evad takriv kol shehu, bring any kind of salt that you can find. So you're supposed to use melach sedomis, but b'di'evad you can use any kind of salt. We talked about a few minutes ago that the Rambam says that the b'di'evad, if you put even a tiny bit of salt on it, even one grain of salt, then you're yotze, because that's another way of understanding kolshehu. That can mean any amount, even the smallest amount of salt, b'di'evad you're yotze. Next. Continues the Braisa. So it means kolshehu, any kind of salt, or even the tiniest amount of salt. Also, takriv mikol makom means you should offer your salt, no matter where it came from. That it means whether from Eretz Yisrael or even salt that you brought from Chutz La'aretz. So you can do that. Also, takriv afilu b'Shabbos. This din of salting the korbanah supplies even on Shabbos. So the Maharam Ruttenberg explains in one of his Trugas, I mean, why would you need? You can salt food on Shabbos. Why would you think you can't salt korbanos? Because the answer is basically because you're burning the salt afterwards. So the point is that you're allowed to burn not only the korban, but you're allowed to burn also the salt. And takriv after the betruma, and when it says you should offer the salt, means even when the korban is being, even when the salt itself is tamei, who the salt. So my tivaynehu, what does that word mean? Amar Rabba Ba'ola, Hakikama, Yochol Yisboynenu Ketevin Betit. You would think that you should put a lot of salt in it, the way that you put straw into mud to make bricks. So you would think it means you have to put in a lot of salt, and therefore the Torah is telling you, Timlach, that you don't really need that much. Amalei Abaye, but Abaye says, Ihoch Yisvoinenu Mibarele, then why the word Kivoinehu? You should say Yisvoinehu, Yisvoinenu, which would mean Loshen placing like sure in it. The word Kivoinehu doesn't really suggest that. In other words, the point is, in the word Kivoinehu, the tof sounds like a prefix, but in the word Tevin, the tof is not a prefix, it's part of the shortish of the word. Ela Amar Abaye, Yochol Yasenu Kibinyan. So Abaye says it means that you would think that you have to put enough salt that it should be like a building. You should have to put like one row on top of another row of salt. And Tivoinehu, therefore, mean you should have to make it like a binyan. Omale Rava, but Rava says that doesn't work either. Yoch Yivnenu, by the way. Then in that case, the word would be Yivnenu. You would think he should build it. Tivoinehu doesn't really suggest a building. Ela Amar Rava, Yochol Tivoinehu. So Rava says no. It means you would think that Tivoinehu. Now on the face of it, he's just repeating what it says in the Braisa. So a different Gusa, a couple of Rabbi Yaakov Emden and other Achronim say that correct Gusa is supposed to be Tivinehu, which means, in other words, that it should be Meloshin Bina. Well, what does that mean? My Tivinehu, or what does that mean to do it like Bina? Amar Ravashi, Yochol Yitin Beitam Kibina. You would think that you have to put enough. You have to put salt on it, like the way a person has bina. Salt gives flavor to food, like the way bina, understanding, gives flavor to what a person understands. So you would think that you still have to put in. So you would think that you have to put in a lot of salt. In other words, Tosfos says that the same way as the same way as bina fixes up a person, and the same way over here, you should need enough salt that you actually need to rinse it off before you can eat the food. What we call before ein nechel machmas milcha, that's so salty that you can't eat it. So you would think that you have to do that. Talmud Lema Timlach. Therefore, the pasuk is telling you that you don't need that much salt. So you don't, it doesn't need to be ein nechel machmas milcha. It's enough to do less than that. On the other hand, the Oruch learns the other way around. Maybe Tivinehu maybe would mean the other way around, that you have to put only a little bit of salt just in order to be able to detect the flavor of salt in it. And then no, we're saying that you have to put in a lot of salt. An interesting point. One of the Achronim points out, look at the difference between us and Amoraim. We, in order to understand what bina is, we need an analogy of salt. Just like salt flavors food, the same way bina flavors a person's perception of the world. The Amoraim looked at it the other way around. The fact that bina is something so necessary, is so obvious, we need that as a muscle to understand how much to salt it. So what we think of as the nimshal to them was the moshal. They had a completely different perception, a much, much more refined perception of the world than we do. So the Gemara says, Kate said, who are you? So how indeed are you supposed to do it? What is the proper way to salt the korban? So maybe Aver, maybe however, but no, it's not a malach. You take the limb of the korban, and you put salt on it, you turn it to the other side, and you put salt on it, and then you bring it up to the mizbeach. And Abaye says the same thing is as far as if you want to cook meat the same way, you have to kasher it first. So the kashering involves putting salt on both sides of it. Now there you do have to in fact put a lot of salt enough that it's not edible because of the salt in order to draw out the blood. So Tosfos points out that the girsa, the chemat dera, there is an alternate girsa, the chemat sleeve. And on the contrary, the Gemara is saying the same thing as far as roasting meat. You don't have to salt it as heavily, and you don't have to kasher it as heavily as you do for regular meat, because the fire will draw out the blood, but nevertheless, you still have to salt it on both sides, according to that way of looking at it. The Gemara continues talking further about the salt. Turning up on him, Melach Shal Gabe Eva Moven Boy. The salt that was placed on a limb of a korban, then Ne'ilah applies to it, the same way as the piece of the korban itself is also bana, and a person is chayav for Ne'ilah for using it. The same way would be with the salt that's on it. Shal Gabe A Kevesh, but the salt that was placed on the kevesh, so that where it falls off, where people salt the limbs of the korbanos on the kevesh, and they leave them there for a little while. So when they salt them, inevitably some salt falls on the kevesh, or the salt that's on top of the mizbeach. Again, where they sort the comets over there, and then some sort falls off. So then in Merlin, though, Mi'ula does not apply to it because those are not considered part of the Corvin because they fell off it. There is a different explanation is that it means, in other words, the salt that's this not even if it fell off, but even you have a pile of salt there, and Mi'ula will not apply to it. But I'm going to Masna Micro, so the Masna says, where's a pasuk where we see that point, that Mi'ula would apply to salt? The pasuk says, Nichezkel, v'kravtam lifnei Hashem, you should offer the korbanos before Hashem, v'shlichu ha'koinim aleihem melach, the koinim should throw salt on them, v'helu osam ola l'Hashem, and they should bring them as an ola to Hashem. So them, meaning both the aver and the salt, are both considered an ola, so therefore Mi'ula will apply to the salt that's on the korban. Okay? Talking more about the salt and more about Me'ilah, the Gemara says Tznanahas, and we learn in a Mishnah in Shkolim that the Chachamim made a bunch of takanos, a bunch of the Mishnah lists over there, one after the other, a bunch of takanos that the Chachamim made regarding the korbanos. And one of them was ala melach, ala etzim, regarding the salt of hektish and the wood of hektish, shira koinim na'osin bahen, that the koinim are allowed to have hanah from them and it won't be considered Me'ilah. Since Beis Din is in charge of Hekdesh, they're in charge of the property of the Beis Mikdash, they can decide that this and this should not be considered the property of the Beis Mikdash, such that Me'ila won't apply to it. So Shmuel says that's talking about only as far as the wood and the salt, only when it comes to eating the korban, only when it comes for the korban, which the Gemara will assume that means when they're bringing a korban. But not for eating. So what does Shmuel mean exactly? Because we start with the assumption that when it says to for their korban would mean to salt the korban. In other words, that they would be, if a kohen himself is bringing a korban, then he's allowed to salt it with salt that belongs to Hekdesh. The Chiddushim Amichasim La Rashba is saying, in other words, that you would think Yisraelim have to bring their own salt. Kohenim, instead of bringing their own salt, they gave them a break and they allowed them to use the salt of Hekdesh for it. Ma'achila, and when Shmuel says that they're not allowed to use it for eating, that would mean Ma'achilas Kodshim. That means when they're coming to eat the Kodshim, when they're coming to eat the Chatas or Oshim or what have you, that they were, or their parts of Korah, or their parts of Kodshim Kalim, and they want to salt it, for that they would have to use salt of their own. But the Gemara asks, how could that be? Hashtalim loyach odus kodshim. Why? When it comes to sorting the skins of the kodshim, which are 100% chulin, it's one of the 24 matnas kohuna, and once the kohenim have those skins, they can do whatever they want with them. Yavinan, we give them salt of hektish as we're going to see in a second, to do that. So lachilas kodshim lo yavinan, what's the logic? We wouldn't give them salt to eat the kodshim, which is something that is not chulin. The kodshim remain kodshim. There's an interesting idea of Levi Yitzchak that his father brings in some places in his writings, that when the Kohenim would get these skins, even though in principle they could use them for anything, he said the skins of Kodshim Kalim they would use for Tefillin Shel Yad, the skins of Kodshim they would use for Tefillin Shel Rosh. But I guess maybe that wasn't necessarily all the Kohenim, but even if it was, Tefillin themselves are Cholim, they have Kedusha, of course, but they're not Kodshim per se. Anyway, so if we see that we give them salt of hektish to be able to even to salt those skins and preserve them and turn them into and start the process of turning them into leather, how much more so we should allow them to do that for actually eating the korbanos? Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a pricing, and it says after Omer, it comes out after it discusses over there the various purposes that salt was used in the Beis Mikdash, and it says after Omer, the Shloshim Mekomos HaMelach Nesuna, there were three places in the Beis Mikdash where salt was placed. The Lishkas HaMelach, one was in what's called the Chamber of Salt, a particular chamber in the Beis Mikdash where they stored salt. The Al-Gabi HaKevesh, then there was more that was placed on the Kevesh. Now before we said that there could be salt that drops off onto the Kevesh when they salt the Korbanos, but now we're saying to begin with they would have salt there on the Kevesh. Over Rosh Hashem Mizbeach, and on top of the Mizbeach. In the Chamber of Salt, that's where they would salt the skins of the Kodshim. As we learned in Zvachim, when it comes to skins of Kodshim, those belong to the Kohenim. Skins of Kodshim Kalim belong to the owners. So therefore, so that's where they would sort them. Tosfos points out that there was actually a different chamber in the Beis Hamikdash called Lishkas HaParva, which is in Masechta Midas. It says that's where they would actually where they would actually salt the skins. So Tosfos says, fine, what it means is that they'd store the salt in the chamber of the salt, and then they would take salt from there to salt the skins in Lishkas HaParva. So they would do that. Al gavya kevesh, then they would have salt on the ramp of the mizbeach. Shasham mochem asayvarim. That's where they would salt the limbs of korbanos before they put them on the mizbeach. Berosh shasham mizbeach, and the salt on top of the mizbeach. Shasham hoyim mochem akoymets v'alavoina. There they would salt the koymets and the levoina of a regular mincha. Vaktoras and the ktoras. Now the Ktoras itself was going to be offered on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but they would salt it at this point on the top of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and then they would bring it in. Tosfos wonders why. I mean, what's the logic? It's going to the Mizbeach HaPnimi anyway. So Tosfos says because they wouldn't do it on the Kevesh, because then it would get dirty with all the blood that was there. So in general, the idea would be, in other words, on top of the Mizbeach, they're salting anything that's dry. Anything that's dry, and therefore there's no, and then you don't want it to be in contact with blood, then they would salt it over there. So the same way they would salt the koymets and the levona over there, the same way they would salt the ktoras over there before they offered it. We talked about on Amud Aleph, actually, we talked about on Amud Aleph, that there was a different opinion that said that ktoras doesn't require salt, so according to that, obviously they wouldn't. Tosfos points out that they would also, we're going to have in the list over here, we would say that they do salt the olas ha'oif there, and that involves blood, but it's only a little amount, so therefore they weren't worried about that they would get into the ktoras or whatever. Anyway, so they would salt over there, it would be koimets and the levona and the ktoras, or minchas koinim, a mincha brought by koinim, which is completely burnt, or minchas koin mashiach, the minchas chavitin of the koin gadol, which is also completely burnt, or minchas nesachim, a minchas nesachim that comes in a korban. Again, as we learned on Amud Aleph, there were opinions that said that did not require salt, but we're following the other opinion, but ola sa'if, and an ola sa'if would also be salted over there. So that was what that third pile of salt on top of the mizbeach was used for. Okay, so the point is, in other words, that we see from that clearly that they had salt available for salting and tanning the skins of the kodshim, which belonged to the kohanim. So then in that case, then how are we saying that they wouldn't give them salt to salt the korbanos that they're going to be eating? So you're right, elamayla korbanam. So what does it mean, the korbanam? That Shmuel is saying that they're given salt for their korban means achilas korbanam. Yeah, for eating their korban, then they are allowed to use salt of hekdesh. Or ma'ala achila, achila de cholin. When it says they can't use salt of hekdesh for eating, that means eating cholin. When it says cholin pshita, of course they can't use the salt of hekdesh for eating cholin. My bo hosam. What are cholin even doing over there? You can't bring cholin into the azara. So you can't bring cholin into the azara in the first place. Shittim Kubetzis actually brings that there's not necessarily an issur to bring in cholin unless you're offering them. You'd be allowed to eat midaraisa, at least you'd be allowed to eat cholin in the azara. So the question is not so much that they couldn't, but in practice you wouldn't. In practice, cholin would be found in their houses. So the answer is afagavda omamar. What it means is, even though we learn elsewhere that when it comes to eating when it comes to a mincha, the pasuk says yoichlu. It says they should eat the mincha, and that means yoichlu ima chulin or truma. It means they should eat chulin or truma together with it, or not together with. Actually, Rashi in that other Gemara explains it means they would eat some before they come in to eat the mincha. Kadesh shetenei chelos al soiva, so that the mincha will be eaten and the person will fill up on it. In other words, the same way as, for example, by the Korban Pesach, it's supposed to be that you eat it al soiva, and in commemoration of that, we eat the after Korban after the meal on Pesach. The same way, in general, Korbanos are supposed to be eaten al soiva because it's more respectful that way. Otherwise, like, you're eating it because you're hungry, that's not really respectful to the Korban. So therefore, they should be eating cholin or truma before they eat the Korban. And then this way they're eating, as we learned in Zvachim, lamoshka, they're eating it in a way of gedula, the way that kings eat. So you would think, therefore, that the eating the chulin is a requirement, is a necessity in order to be able to eat the kodshim. Nevertheless, we don't give them salt of kodshim for the purpose. Tosfos actually wonders why not. Tackle why not? And
And then, and Toast was there, and after all, we said, you are, that, you know, they're able to bring in holen, they're able to bring in holen spices, we learned from Zvachim. So okay, Tosfos says that, you know what, fine, and when it comes to those spices, then yeah, they could, whenever they, then they, when it comes to, those kinds of things, then yeah, they could use salt of kodshim, because then it would be considered like a kodshim. But here we're talking about, in other words, so if they bring in spices to spice the kodshim when they're eating them, then sure, they can use salt of kodshim as well. But if here we're talking about strictly cholin, then no, they can't do that. Okay. So they do have to eat cholin beforehand, but they have to supply their own salt. And the Gemara says, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi. So Ravina says to Ravashi, Hachi Nami Mistabra. In fact, it is logical to understand what Shmuel said that way, that when he says they're not given salt for their eating, that they're given salt for their korbanos, means to eat the korbanos, and that they're not given for eating, means to eat the cholin with them. It has to be that way, says Ravina. If you're going to tell me that the word l'korbanim means they're not even given salt of hektish to salt their korban, and which we asked before, that if we're giving it to them to salt the skins, how much more so the korban itself. But you're going to say, Taima de Asni Beistin, you would say only because Beistin made it tonight, and allowed them to use the salt for a limited purpose, holy asni based in loy, implying that if based in and not made such a tnai, they wouldn't even be able to use it for their korbanos. Of course it has to be that the koreanim are going to be given salt for that. Hashtag Yisrael Yavinim, the koreanim lo Yavinim. What's the logic that we should give such salt to Yisraelim and not to koreanim? The Yisrael does not, in fact, have to bring his own salt for the korban. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa, Yochol ha'omer hare alay mincha, you would think that when a person says, I obligate myself to bring a mincha. Yovi melach mitech beise. He has to bring salt from his own house. Kedeach shenevi levoina mitech beise. The same way as he has to bring levoina from his house. And the dinhu. And we would figure it out. We would think of it logically that way. Nema hovi mincha v'hovi melach. The Torah says, bring a mincha when you're going to bring a mincha. Bring salt with it. The nema hovi mincha v'hovi levoina. And it also says that when you bring a mincha, you have to bring levoina. So you could argue it's a similarity. Ma levoina mitech beise. Af melach mitech beise. Just as a levoina is brought from his house, and that's clear because that's clear, Rashi says, because the Pasuk says he should place Levon on it, and then he should bring it to the Koyanim. So that makes it clear that before the Koyanim ever get a hold of it, then it already has Levon on it. So of necessity, that means that the person himself is bringing Levon to go together with the Korban. So then you would think that, the salt is the same thing. But continues the Braisa, oi kloch l'derech zu. On the other hand, you could look at it another way. Nema hovi mincha v'hovi melach. The Torah does say to bring a mincha together with salt. V'nema hovi mincha v'hovi etzim. But you also have to have wood with the. You also have to have wood with it, as we learned previously. A mincha is something that requires a. It requires something together with it. We said that it requires a. That it requires echeirim boim choiva lost. Something else is brought as a choiva together with the mincha, namely wood. So then you could argue ma etzim from mishal tzibur. So just like the wood comes from the tzibur, af melach mishal tzibur. Maybe the salt also comes from the tzibur. So then which one? So what are we going to compare the salt to? So the Braisi says nirul midoima. Well, now let's figure out which one it resembles more. Which one does the salt resemble more, the levoina or the wood? We should derive something which applies to all korbanos from something else that applies to all korbanos. All korbanos need salt, and all korbanos need wood. Don't try to prove from levoina she'ein nehegus b'chalas vachem, which is not something that's found by all korbanos only by a mincha. So therefore, we have more logical reason to say that wood, that salt should be compared to wood, and the wood comes from the tzibur, and therefore so does the salt. Oy, cloth or derech zu, but the Braisa goes back and says, on the other hand, you could argue in another way. Don in davar abba'im of kli achad, you should learn something that comes together with it in one keli, because the koymets and levoina come together in one keli, and the salt also is placed on the koymets in the keli. Mi davar abba'im of kli achad, so you should derive the salt from the levoina. Both of them come in one keli, maybe not in one keli, because there is a possibility that maybe the koimetz, you have to put in a kli shartis, but you don't have to be makruv it in that, so you can put in a kli shartis, then take it out, bring it to the top of the mizbeach and salt it, so it was never in the same keli, but fine, what it means is that it became part of the koren mincha. So, as we said, as we before, we worked on the pasuk that the salt becomes part of the carbon. So you could argue that way. Don't try to prove from wood. The kliyacha, they never come in one keli. The wood has nothing to do directly with the carbon. So therefore, so maybe we should learn the salt from the wood, and that's brought by the tzibur. Talmud Leimat. Now, therefore, since we have an impasse, we can learn either way, or the other way around. We should say we should learn from the Levona, and the person himself should have to supply the salt. So we have an impasse. So how do we break that? Talmud Leimat, Bris Melach Olam Hu. Therefore, the pasuk says that the salt is a covenant of salt forever. Olahal Noimer Me'es Bnei Yisrael Bris Olam. We have the same expression Bris when it comes to the Lechem Hapanim. It's an eternal covenant with the Jewish people. So we have Gzeirah Shavah, Malahal and Mishal Tzibur, Afkan Mishal Tzibur. Just as the Lechem Aponim comes from the Tzibur, because the Pasuk says that Me'es B'nei Yisrael from the Jewish people. So the same way, yeah, the same way the salt is also provided in Mishal Tzibur. So we see that the salt is provided by the tzibur. So what's the logic that we would have thought in the first place that the Kohen's mincha, that the Kohen's korbanos in general, should not have salt provided by the tzibur. Then we have to say that the Chachamim had to make a special takana for it. So that it, isn't it much more logical to say they were all along entitled to salt for their korbanos, just as much as Yisrael is. The Chachamim made a takana that they're allowed to use the salt even when it comes to eating the korban, which is something that Yisraelim don't do. So we can learn that way. However, Amalei Rav Mordechai and Rav Ashi. But the Gemara answers that's not really a proof. Rav Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, "Halfi Kamer of Shisha Breidir of Idi." No, because Rav Shisha Breidir of Idi explained, "Lenitzucha Elul Ben Buchri," because the chiddush of the point of having to make a takana that the Kohenim are entitled to salt in order to salt their korbanos is according to the opinion of Ben Buchri. The Tanan, namely, we learn in a Mishnah in Shkolim, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Hey Ben Buchri B'Yavne, Ben Buchri, that was his name, gave testimony in Yavne, Kol Koyin Sheshoytel, any Koyin who brings a Machs to Shekel, Enei Choyte is not sinning by that, meaning he's not Chayim to bring it, but if he wants to bring Machs to Shekel, then he could. He learns basically because since the pasuk says kol over al apkudim, he learns it to mean anybody who violated the Torah, namely anybody who worshipped the eagle, and he learns it that it means rather anybody who was counted in the census and Shevet Levi was not counted in the census. Omalei Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, but Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai explains loy ki. No, you have it the other way around. Ela kol koin she'ena shekel choyte. On the contrary, any koin who does not give machzah shekel is sinning. He's not bringing machzah shekel. He's not giving his contribution to the Beis Mikdash. He learns that kol ha'oval apkudim means everybody who passed through the Yam Suf. Well, Shevet Levi also passed through, and it says ze yitnu. Ze means all 12 shvatim. Ella, but Rabbi Yechim and Zaka explains, you know how you, Ben Buchri, are mistakenly thinking that you don't have to bring Machzah Shekel, you Koyanim, Ella Shah Koyanim, Doshin Mikra Zela Atzman. The Koyanim, Doshin, the following Pasuk, to their benefit, and they think that based on that Jerusha, they shouldn't have to give Machzah Shekel. Namely, the Pasuk says, V'chol Minchas Koyan Kol Ol Tiyo Loisa Ochol, any Mincha of a Koyan should be completely burnt, it should not be eaten. So the Kohenim argued, Hoyol the Oimer, Shtei Alechem, the Lechem upon him, Shalonuhi. Well, if part of the Oimer and the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem upon him, all of which are bought with Machzah Shekel money, if part of it belongs to the Kohenim, Heyach Necholin, how could they be eaten? Shouldn't they be considered like a mincha of the Kohenim? And therefore, so the Kohenim argued that they're potter from bringing Machzah Shekel, but if they want to give, then fine, they can, then they can give it because then they can give it as an adava to the Tzibur. But now the answer is that no, this is wrong. Actually, the pasuk is talking about an individual kohen's mincha, not a kohenim, not a mincha to which the kohenim contributed for the tzibur. Tosfos, incidentally, brings over here. It seems from this expression that Rabbi Yechon and Zakkai is using that he himself was not a kohen, because he's saying the kohenim doubted this for themselves, implying that he himself wasn't a kohen. On the other hand, Tosfos brings brings from someplace else where it seems to imply that maybe he was a Kohen, but Tosfos says maybe not. It means that he supervised the burning of a Parah Adumah, but not that he actually did it himself, because according to that, he's not a Kohen. But so now we have to figure out in order to get the answer to the question. Well, the question is, according to Ben Bukhri, the Kohen is not chayev to bring lahatchila. If he does bring, he is a sinner because then he's bringing the kamayo full of azara. Because then he's causing cholin in being brought into the azara. Because then he's then it's not machzah shekel. The Minchas Chinuch wonders, well, why not? He's being mocked to shit. What's the problem? And the answer is how Tzvi gives an answer, because after all, he thinks that he has to do, he plans to do it as Machzah Shekel. He's not Chayev, so it would be like what's called Hektish for toes. He's doing Hektish by mistake, and it shouldn't be valid. And the answer is the Maisi of Mosel Lohan the Tzibur. Fine, he takes the Machzah Shekel and he gives it over fully to the Tzibur, so he could do that. And the point is, in other words, we're not choshesh that maybe he's not giving it over fully to the tzibur. So that's Ben Bukhri's opinion. Now that we understand Ben Bukhri's opinion, Sakadai the Chamina, you would have thought to say, Kizochi Lahu Rachmana Yisrael, you know when the Torah is Mizaka to, that people can use salt is only Yisraelim, the Isbahu Lishka, because after all, they gave money towards the Lishka and toward the salt that was bought. La Koyanim Deles Lahu Lishka, but the Koyanim who, according to Ben Bukhri, are not giving towards that Lishka, Loi Zochi Lahu Rachmana, maybe Hashem does not give them permission to use the salt. Therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah would be telling us that the based in Meditakana, that they can use the salt anyway. But according to the Chachamim, you're right. You wouldn't need to do that because it's obvious that since the Koyanim, according to Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, and this is halacha, that Koyanim are equally well chayv to give Machzah Shekel, then of course they could use the salt for their korbanos. But and therefore, what Shmuel was telling us is not that they can use it for their korbanos, for salt in the korban that goes on the mizbeach, but that they can use it even when they're eating the korban. They can use salt of hekdesh for that purpose.